privilege to be invited to come here tonight. My name is Brother Mark. My wife, Sister Rita. You've already met Brother Bert and Sister Nancy. Brother George. We're all from the United States. And we have a fellowship in New York.
A
small fellowship like we have here. We are not big. We do not have hundreds of people.
Amen.
We preach a hard word. The kind of word we preach would not make the big television programs. Amen. We preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I was sitting here tonight when you were praising. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, what would you do and what would you say if you were here tonight? First thing he showed me, and this is why I'm not using this, he didn't use one of these. How do you think he spoke to 5,000 men plus women plus children and he didn't have one of these? So the people had to be very quiet so they could hear the precious words that he brought. He brought them words and told them that he was come to heal the brokenhearted. He told them he had come to set the captives free. He told them he had come to open the eyes of the blind. He told them that he had come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Would you be glad to hear those words tonight? Would you say that you have been brokenhearted? Would you say that you have been poor and you need to hear the gospel? Would you say that in your soul you have been in prison? Would you cry out to him today and say, Lord Jesus, release me? You know, he's still here today to bring this same word. That was 2,000 years ago. In 2,000 years, the church has lost its way from what Jesus first taught us. We no longer have a memory of what it was like in the days of Peter and Paul. We have come into traditions of man. Sometimes I see things here in Ethiopia. Sometimes I see things in the churches in Ethiopia. And I believe some of these things came from America. And I am almost ashamed to tell you that I came from America. We brought you things that was not good. We brought you some of our ways that are not good. I wish I could say that we only brought you the way of the Spirit of God. So what would Jesus say to us tonight? I can only know when we find Jesus being introduced in the book of Matthew. Before he came, there was a man named John. And the man was a prophet. And he was crying to the people and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And he told them that he would baptize them with water. But the one that was coming after him would baptize them with fire. Fire and the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that mean? To be baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You see, here's the thing again that I'm afraid some of the Americans have brought. They brought you television programs and they said this is God. ninety-nine percent of what you see on those television programs is not God. You need to hear from God. You need to hear from the Spirit of God. We need to cry out to God that we can act like God. Did Jesus ever preach and say, "Repent"? Let me read you from Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. I'll go to verse 16 first. It says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." That's chapter 4, Matthew. This is a description of God's people. This was the condition of God's church when Jesus came on the scene. They had the Word. They had the prophets. They had Moses. But they sat in great darkness. They were in great bondage. They were very discouraged. And what did Jesus say? It says, first of all, that they saw a great light. What kind of light did they see? Did Jesus look like the sun? No, he looked like a man. What was the light that they saw? they began to hear the words of the gospel of the kingdom of God. They had heard the Pharisees, they had heard the priests already talking. They knew the law. They knew what sin was. They knew that if a man did these sins, they could take him and stone him. They knew all that. But they were in darkness. But Jesus began to bring something that could set their soul free. And the next verse says, from that time Jesus began to repent and say, or preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Verse 17.
What does it mean to repent? Can you help me? What does it mean to repent? Who should repent? Who should repent?
She's saying, turning back.
Turning back. Okay. Who should repent? Is it only sinners? Is this word also for the church? Do we live a repenting lifestyle? The sister said to repent is to turn. You know, even though we have the blood of Jesus, even though we have been forgiven of our sins, even though we have been given the assurance of eternal life, if we want to be sons of God, we still have to repent. You know, brethren, we were not made perfect on the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You were forgiven. But you had a long walk to come into the fullness of Christ. Now last night, the brother was talking at another little fellowship here in the city. He took us back to the book of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And in the Word it says that He breathed into man the breath of life. What did He do? What did He do for men? He breathed His Spirit into us. So we have a portion of God in us. We have the means of hearing the voice of God. Even the sinner has the ability in him to hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit can speak to a vile, evil sinner. And he can hear God call him to repentance. Hallelujah. Now, this is not something that God put in any other creature. He didn't put it in the cow. The dog, the goat, nothing but man has this of God in them. Now when a sinner dies, if he dies a sinner, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the spirit that was in him goes back to God. But the soul of the sinner goes to hell. Now, in a righteous man, when he dies, his spirit goes to God, and his soul goes to God, and his body goes into the grave, and his body is waiting for the day of resurrection. And someday that's going to come, and we'll be complete again with a new body. But what I'm saying is that God has put within us a portion of Himself, and His purpose was to make man in His image and in His likeness. Now we are in the image of God in as much as we have characteristics like God. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we have feelings. You know that God has these things too? Do you know that God can smell? I really think that when the angels met Abraham and talked about Sodom, what they were saying, in my understanding, was it stinks down there in Sodom. And I'm going down there to do something about it. Hallelujah. You know, it stinks in this earth again. And the time of God's judgment is coming very close. What I am saying to you tonight is that we need the fullness of the kingdom of God in us. Brethren, don't just settle for forgiveness of your sins. Ask also for the likeness of God. Hallelujah. You see, the thing that happened when Adam sinned, he was still in the image of God, but he had lost something else. He was no more like God. He saw his wickedness. He saw his own nakedness. And the holy presence of God, the voice of God. You see the voice. He heard the voice of God. He heard the speech of God in the garden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he fled from it. Hallelujah. Now, God wants His kingdom to be built in us. And when I said a while ago, in 2,000 years, the church has lost its vision. The church has lost the vision of what is the kingdom of God. And I will use the term we in a sense that we need to repent. We have taken on a vision of other kingdoms. We have taken on a vision of organizations. We have pursued empires that are ruled by man. We have lost the vision of Jesus Christ being the true and only head of the body of Christ. So let me follow this a little bit. I want to give you the Word of God. I like to teach the Word of God. So I like to give you the basis of what I believe. You see, the basis of what I believe is found here. The basis of what I believe is not the traditions of man. It is not the traditions of the church. Because, as I said, the church became corrupt. Let's go back a little bit in history. I think it's been almost 500 years. You know what happened about 500 years ago? There were people in the Catholic Church, and there were some priests, and they got a hold of the Word of God. There were priests, there was more than one. Martin Luther was one. And they had kept the Word of God from the people. Let me ask you a question tonight. You came to a meeting expecting to hear a man preach. How many of you brought the Word with you? How many of you have Bibles? Do some of you not own Bibles? Is there anybody here that does not own a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, sell all. Sell all that you might have. That you might have the precious Word. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. You can't know the kingdom of God without the Word of God. You see, I want to tell you a story. I was sitting in an airplane one time next to a Catholic priest. I was very young. I was about 22 years old. That's very young. That's almost 50 years ago. And it was not a big Boeing 747. There were 6 seats in this airplane. 2 for the pilot, 2 behind, and 2 in the back. And the priest and I were in the back 2 seats. So I thought, what am I going to talk about with this priest? So I said to the man, I said, I want to ask you a question, Mr. Priest. I wouldn't call him father. The Bible says, call no man father. So I got a name from him. Joseph or something. I said, tell me, Joseph, how do you justify the church that you represent doing things and believing things that are completely opposite of what the Bible says. How can you be part of this organization and preach this message that you're preaching? He said, we have tradition. And our tradition is sometimes stronger than the Bible. Do you understand what the man was saying? He was saying that my church went astray from the Bible, but in order to justify it, what we're doing today, justify how we're baptizing newborn babies, justify how we are telling people that if you eat my little wafer and drink my little thing, that you are drinking the actual real blood and body of Jesus Christ. How do you justify telling your priest they cannot marry? When Paul says that an elder should be the husband of one wife. Now you say tradition. You see? So whenever men begin to take some other way than the Word of God, whenever you begin to face the reality of your life and how it lines up with what God says it ought to be, then you are in rebellion against God. I was talking to a man, a man that I know very well. I've known him from the time he was born. He's living a sinful life. But he's going to church. He's favored by the pastor. He's involved in the music of the church. And the church accepts that this man is one of them. I said, my friend, here is what the Bible says about your life. It says it very clear. How can you say that you are not on the highway to hell? I said, my dear friend, you are going to go to hell the way you are living. And maybe the word I am giving you today that you must repent is the last chance you will have. This man had been to a seminary in America in a conservative denomination church. That means he was trained to be a pastor. Another man that I know told me that in a Pentecostal denomination seminary that is training pastors, Only a small percentage of these Pentecostal pastors are filled with the Holy Spirit. Please do not open to what's coming from America. America has fallen. But as I look around, I see that Ethiopia has fallen through. The heart of God must be crying. When I asked this man, how can you look at this verse that says specifically what you are doing is an abomination to God? You went to seminary? You read the Word? What are you doing with it? He said, well, we were taught that these were the ways that the Jews thought about God many years ago. Come on, brethren. God has not changed.
Amen.
So, you see what they're doing. If you say, well, that's the way the Jews thought. If you cannot believe, that's what the finger of God wrote. That was what the voice of God spoke to the man. Write it down. If you're going to change that, then they are writing their own Bible. So now any man can live in any kind of sin he wants, and he writes his own Bible. God wants to live in you. He wants a clean temple. He wants a house. Did you see what he did to that old temple? What did he do to that old temple? He came into that old house made of stone. He found money changers. Now, it isn't that money itself is wicked. It's the hearts of men. Listen. Make that scene today. You're thinking of history when I say that. You're thinking of some stone building 2,000 years ago. No, this was their church. Jesus came to their church. And he overturned their things. And he said to them, my house was to be a house of prayer, and you made something else out of it. You made something of my house that it was never intended to be. Are you hearing what God is saying? Jesus began to say after that day, repent. Now, he was not talking to wicked Gentiles. This word was not for Roman soldiers. This was not the message he gave to the Samaritans. It was for God's people. Hallelujah. So, if the church has gotten its eyes on another kingdom, well, that's the church. That's not me. Well, what is the church? Is this the church? This isn't the church. Is this the church? No. Who is the church? We. That means what God is saying, you have to hear. If God is saying repent, then I need to be saying to the Lord, how do I need to repent? You know, I believe the Lord would be so blessed if you as a people just came quietly before the Lord and said, Lord, I want to hear the quiet voice. You know, his voice is pretty quiet sometimes. There's only one time in my life that God had to shout at me. And that was the first time I heard him speak. And I was convinced that it was impossible for me to hear the voice of God. I was on the floor on my face. I wasn't singing. I was just crying. My heart was broken. I remember my nose was touching the floor. I remember my tears were coming down on the floor. And I remember saying to the Lord that day, I said, Lord, I am your son. I have a right to hear your voice. I will not have to hear your voice through another man. You can speak to me directly, and I will not rise from this floor until I hear your voice. Now, I don't know whether I intended to stay there for 2 weeks or what. But he was very merciful to me. He quickly spoke to me. Because I could not hear easily in those days, I felt like he put a trumpet right here. Not here. Not these ears. He found some ears in here somewhere. And I felt the words blasted right through me. Yeah, I'll tell you what he said. He said, son, Will you bear with me a little while longer? Now, what was it that caused me to go down on my face and cry out to hear the voice of God? Tribulation. Tribulation. Everything in my life was going bad. Everything was going out of control. And I wanted to hear from God. You know, He didn't tell me everything's going to be okay. He didn't say, "Yay, my son, thou shalt have faith." No. Basically, He said, "I am the cause of your troubles." He said, "Will you bear with me? I'm the one that put you where you are." And will you put up with me? Amen?
Amen.
Now, how are you going to answer a question like that from God? What will you say if He asks you a question like that? Will you say no? You will never say no and Lord in the same sentence. Those two words, if you say Lord, you are not saying no. You always say yes, Lord. Now God is going to get your attention. Some of you are hearing what I'm saying. God is going to get your attention. If you're not used to walking with Him and hearing His voice, there's a time coming called tribulation, and He's going to get your attention. Why would He do such a thing like that? Why would He let me go through such trouble? Because He loves you so much. He loves you as much as He loves every man, woman, and child that He touched in the day that He walked among us. He accepts you the way you are when you come into His kingdom. But He expects you to change. What about your children? Some of you have children. How many of you have children? Do you love your children? Do you accept them the way they are? And what will you say 20 years from now if your children are still the same that they are today? You expect them to change, don't you? There's something very wrong if they don't change. And this is what the Word of God says. I want you to get into your Bibles. I'm sure your Amharic Bible says the truth. God wants sons. Yes, He accepts children. There's a place for children in the house of God. But if the whole house of God is all children, then we should call it the kindergarten of God. Mm-hmm. No, he wants some sons too. God sent us here with a word. We obviously don't have time to tell you the whole word in an hour. But if the Spirit of God will quicken you, if the Spirit of God will speak to your heart and say to your heart, there's something that that man is talking about that I want. There's something more that I haven't gotten yet. I've only had part of it. What I've had is getting a little old. I've had some of yesterday's manna and it's beginning to stink. I want to know where I can get the hidden manna. I heard about it. You see, these are the kinds of things that was going on in my heart back in those days, 40 years ago. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was just baby things, really. I was so excited. And I came back to a little church that I was going to. And they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They just had salvation and baptism. It's what we call outer court things. You probably don't know what I mean when I say outer court. The tabernacle that God told Moses to build, it had an outer court. It had a holy place, and then it had a place where the mercy seat was, the most holy place. So most of the people could come into the outer court. And that's where the shedding of blood was. That was the brazen laver. Or the brazen altar, I'm sorry. There was a brazen laver which was filled with water. And that's a picture of baptism. And you see, most of the church stays in that place. Oh, by the way, baptism includes baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as a historical part of your life does not give you the ongoing life in Christ. People can just point to these things and say, oh yes, 40 years ago, you know. What about today? So you spoke in tongues. That was 20 years ago. Have you been hearing from God today? Why not? I found out sometimes that I had to be very quiet before God. I remember one time I was in church. It was a big church. A lot more people than here. And in my heart, I was crying to God. I didn't say it out loud, but I remember in my heart, I was saying, oh God, where are you? And I remember I was looking up, thinking, oh, you're so far away in heaven. Why can't I get a hold of you? And I heard a very quiet voice down here again. And the voice said, I'm right here. Now I had to be quiet in order to hear that voice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, the kingdom of God, my goodness, I wanted to say more about the kingdom of God. Can I say a little more about the kingdom of God? There's a few verses I'd like to share with you today. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. This is a parable. A one verse parable.
And
Did you read the verse?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. 44. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. 44. A treasure hid in the field. In which a man found. When he found the treasure in the field. He hid the treasure. But he realized he needed to buy the whole field. The field didn't belong to him. But he had to have that treasure. What is he talking about? The kingdom of what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like treasure found in a field. So, what did the man do? Did he go home and say, oh man, I really would like to have that field? Oh, but it costs too much. No, I could never have that. I'm too small. Who am I to buy that field? But still, that treasure was really nice. I mean, that's a kingdom. I mean, I've had these kingdoms of church. I've had this kingdom of business. They don't satisfy me. Some people get into the kingdom of politics. And they find out it's rotten inside. Amen. Kingdom of finance, money. Just another kingdom. Oh, so many kingdoms. Kingdom of education. Come on, some of you have tried some of these kingdoms. You're looking for something better. The good news is, you can have it. Now, salvation is free. You can't earn the blood of Jesus. But if you want all that he has in his kingdom, you're going to have to pay for it. What price? All that he has. What is all that he has?
Yallo hullu sheta.
Well, one time Jesus told a man that unless you love me more than your father and your mother and your, you know, family, that was a pretty big kingdom for that man. In other words, you're going to have to give up all those other loves and aspirations and desires. Come on. I was a young man. I had lots of desires. Climb the ladder of success. Biggest church in town. But when I started preaching the message of the kingdom, I knew we weren't going to have the biggest church in town. Because I saw people make decisions. People heard the message. They counted the cost. Only a few said, I want it all, and I'll pay everything for it. I'll give up all my desires. I want it. And that's the only way you're going to get it. What was all this talk? Come on, brethren, you've got to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again. What is all this talk about laying your life down? Come on, did he just mean something? I lay it down. But I don't want to die. If it's really going to cost me my life, maybe I'll take something better. You know, I like that verse in Revelation chapter 12 that says they overcame. You know the verse, don't you?
Yes.
Come on, you've been preaching that verse, haven't you? You know, God wants you to be an overcomer. How many of you want to overcome? How many of you want to overcome all things? And how did they overcome? By what? Help me here. The blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony. Okay, wait. Let's stop right here. The blood of the Lamb and the word. That ought to be enough, hasn't it? I've got the blood. I'm forgiven. I don't just have the blood. I walk under the blood. I mean, the blood is on the lintel. The blood is on the doorpost of my house. That ought to be enough, right? No, he says the word of my testimony. And the word of my testimony is going to be this word. I have no other philosophy. I have no other doctrine. I don't preach religion. I don't preach churchiality. You made a word out of that. Amen. No. I'm preaching the word of God. But then I discovered one day that there was a third ingredient. And they loved not their lives unto what? The death.
እስከ ሞት ድረስ ህይወታቸው እሱን ወደው ለሰጡት የሚለው ደግሞ አንዱ ማሸነፊያ ነው። ወይም ደግሞ እስከ ሞት የታመንከው
Now I'm just going to give it to you very briefly.
እስከ ሞት የታመንከው የህይወትን መውጫ ምን አረጋለሁ? ሰጣለሁ ማለትም ይለው እሱን ነው እንደሶሰኛ
We are preaching an end time word.
ተውቃላችሁኛ ስለ መጨረሻው ዘመን እንናገራለን እንሰብካለን
We are at the end of the history of church. The way we've done business up until now is not going to last. We're going to have to do business by the Spirit. And we are coming into a time of tribulation such as this world has never ever known.
አሁን ግን ጊዜው እየመጣ ነው። በዓለም ላይ ታይቶ የማይታወቅ ያልተሰማ የመከራ ዘመን እንደሚለው ቃሉ ላይ መጨረሻው ጊዜ እንደሚለው ታላቅ የመከራ ዘመን በቅርብ ሊለቀቃችን አለ። ጌታ መምጣት እንደቀረበ ሊናገሩ ነው።
I hate to tell you that. But I have to tell you the truth. It's not very far away. That's the bad news. The good news is God has made for you a place of refuge. I'm not talking about a rapture. No, that's not it. God has never raptured people that were in trouble. But He has made a place of refuge for you. When Jesus stood on the hill looking at Jerusalem, He saw the tribulation that was coming to Jerusalem. And He cried. He loved those people. But He knew because of their rebellion and their stubbornness that He could not save them. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would take you under my wings like a mother hen, a little chick. I would protect you from the terrible things that are coming upon you. In other words, in Christ there is the protection. I have the ability to take you under my wing. But He said to His people, to His church, He said, but you would not. And then He said in the next verse, this is Matthew 23, in the next verse He said, therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. He didn't call it my father's house anymore. What He was saying is, I tried to correct the father's house, but you still wouldn't hear me. He said, now it's your house. Not my house anymore. God is saying, I moved out. I'm gone. It's your house. And I can't protect your house anymore. Hallelujah. Merciful Father. Hear us today as we cry unto you. Our heart yearns and longs for your fullness, O God. O Lord, there's so much to that treasure. It's a treasure that is in the midst of you. O God, it's not those outer treasure things. It's not those other kingdoms. It's the kingdom of your business inside of me, O God. I want all of you today. Hear my cry, O Lord. O God, I repent of the other things that I have longed for. The things I've gotten involved in, O God, that have nothing whatsoever to do with your house and with your kingdom, O God. Hear the cry of your people today, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we would be a repentant people. May God bless you.
Amen.